Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 13 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered depression, bone loss, and other conditions linked to low testosterone. Today we're getting into conditions that mimic low testosterone symptoms. That distinction matters more than most men realize. In clinic, the shortcut I see all the time is this. A guy feels tired, flat, less interested in sex, maybe his workouts are worse, maybe erections are less reliable, and someone says, "Sounds like low T." Sometimes it is. Sometimes it absolutely is not. Male hypogonadism is a syndrome, not a number. You need persistent symptoms, and you need biochemical evidence on proper morning testing. At Vidma, the thresholds we use are total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter, or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter, when symptoms are still there. If you skip the rest of the differential, you can miss the real problem and spend months treating the wrong one. One of the easiest ways to get this wrong is to forget that low testosterone symptoms are not specific. Fatigue, low libido, brain fog, poorer concentration, depressed mood, weaker recovery, erectile dysfunction. None of those belong exclusively to testosterone deficiency. Last month, I saw a man in his early 40s who was convinced he had low T because an afternoon test elsewhere came back borderline. He was exhausted, irritable, not lifting the way he used to, and he had started avoiding sex because he felt off. Fair concern. But when we did the workup properly with a morning draw, direct free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MSMS, total testosterone by LC-MSMS plus LH and FSH, the pattern did not point cleanly to hypogonadism. What stood out was thyroid dysfunction and poor sleep. If we had chased testosterone alone, we would have missed the engine problem and kept polishing the dashboard. That is the first principle today. Before you label a man hypogonadal, you need the pattern. Free testosterone matters because it is the biologically available fraction, the part tissues can actually use. Total testosterone can look acceptable while free testosterone is low, especially when binding proteins shift. Thyroid disease and liver disease can do that. This is why we prioritize direct free testosterone measurement rather than trying to estimate it from a separate SHBG calculation. Then you add LH and FSH. Those two tell you where the problem starts. High LH with low testosterone means the brain is signaling hard and the testes are not responding. That is primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH with low testosterone means the signal is weak. That is secondary hypogonadism. Without LH and FSH, treatment selection is guesswork, and medicine is much better when we are not guessing. Thyroid disease is probably the classic mimic. A simple TSH can save a lot of confusion. Hypothyroidism in men overlaps with low testosterone almost point for point. Fatigue, weight gain, low mood, low libido, slower thinking, feeling cold, less physical drive. If you only check testosterone, you can talk yourself into the wrong diagnosis very easily. I have seen men come in saying, "I know it is testosterone because I just feel slower." Sometimes they are right. Sometimes the thyroid is the bigger culprit. The clue is that thyroid disease often brings other hints: cold intolerance, constipation, dry skin, a general sense that the metabolism has been set to economy mode. Not always dramatic, often subtle. Which is why symptom guessing is a poor substitute for a blood test. Hyperthyroidism can confuse things in a different way. These men may have anxiety, tremor, muscle weakness, weight loss, poor sleep, sexual dysfunction, and irritability. That does not sound like the stereotypical low T picture, but in real life, it overlaps more than people expect. On top of that, thyroid excess can raise SHBG and make total testosterone look better than the free fraction really is. So a man may have a total testosterone number that seems fine, while the clinically relevant free testosterone is not. That is one reason we care so much about direct free testosterone measurement. I learned early on not to be impressed by a pretty total testosterone number if the rest of the story does not fit. Numbers are helpful, they are not clairvoyant. Mood disorders are another major source of confusion. Depression and anxiety can reproduce fatigue, poor concentration, low motivation, low libido, irritability, sleep disturbance, and emotional flattening. In other words, the same complaints that send a lot of men looking for testosterone treatment. When I was a resident, I used to think mood complaints were almost too nonspecific to be useful. I was wrong. They are useful, but only when you place them in context. A man can have depression with normal testosterone. He can have true testosterone deficiency with downstream mood symptoms. He can also have both at the same time, which is common enough to keep us humble. A JAMA Psychiatry meta-analysis found that testosterone treatment can improve depressive symptoms in some men who truly have testosterone deficiency. That does not make testosterone a primary treatment for major depressive disorder. It means that correcting a real hormone deficiency can help the mood symptoms that came with it. I often tell patients that testosterone is not an antidepressant in disguise. If the main complaint is low mood, emotional blunting, and loss of interest in life, and the labs do not support hypogonadism, we need to stay honest about that. Another point people miss is medication effect. SSRIs can lower libido, affect arousal and orgasm, and sometimes muddy the hormonal picture. If symptoms started after an antidepressant was added or the dose changed, that belongs in the differential. It is not glamorous medicine, it is just real medicine. Sleep may be the most underappreciated mimic of all. Obstructive sleep apnea and chronic insomnia can look almost identical to low testosterone during the day. Fatigue, brain fog, reduced libido, erectile problems, weight gain, poor recovery, worse metabolic health. A man tells me he sleeps 8 hours, but his wife says he snores like a chainsaw and occasionally stops breathing. He wakes up tired, needs caffeine to function, and his motivation is shot. That is not a testosterone diagnosis. That is a sleep diagnosis until proven otherwise. Snoring is not a personality trait. Sleep is tied directly to testosterone production, so this gets even trickier. Poor sleep can mimic low T, and chronic sleep disruption can also suppress testosterone production and create true secondary hypogonadism. That is why I take it seriously when a man has loud snoring, witnessed apneas, morning headaches, unrefreshing sleep, or major daytime sleepiness. If we miss sleep apnea, we may treat the consequence instead of the cause. CPAP does not magically turn every man into a superhero, but plenty of men feel substantially better when the airway issue is treated. And if hypogonadism is later confirmed, untreated sleep apnea still matters, because intermittent low oxygen can contribute to elevated hematocrit. That becomes relevant anytime testosterone-based treatment is on the table. Then there are the medical conditions that hide in plain sight. Iron overload, especially hereditary hemochromatosis, can suppress pituitary signaling and cause secondary hypogonadism. The symptoms are broad enough to fool almost anyone. Fatigue, joint pain, low libido, erectile dysfunction, liver issues, just a general sense that the system is running badly. I have seen men spend a long time chasing testosterone while nobody checked ferritin and transferrin saturation. Those are simple first-step screens for iron overload. If the upstream problem is excess iron, that is what you treat. In some men, testosterone production improves when you do. Prolactin is another one. Elevated prolactin can suppress GnRH, which means the brain stops sending an adequate signal downstream. The result can be low libido, erectile dysfunction, fatigue, infertility, and a secondary hypogonadism pattern on labs. The classic causes are pituitary adenomas, especially prolactinomas, and medications that raise prolactin, like certain antipsychotics or metoclopramide. This is why prolactin belongs in the workup when LH is low or normal, or when low sexual desire is a dominant complaint. Treating prolactin excess can normalize testosterone in some men without jumping straight to testosterone therapy. That is a very different conversation from simply saying, "Your T is low, here is the treatment." Kidney disease and liver disease also deserve more respect in this conversation. Men with chronic kidney disease often have fatigue, weakness, sexual dysfunction, and reduced physical capacity that can look a lot like androgen deficiency. Liver disease can distort hormone handling and change the relationship between total and free testosterone. It can also make the lab picture messy in ways that punish oversimplification. That is why the comprehensive metabolic panel is not just a safety box we check. It is part of the diagnosis. If the liver or kidneys are significantly involved, you do not solve that with testosterone alone. You identify the organ issue and address it directly. Nutritional deficiencies are less dramatic, but they matter. Severe vitamin D deficiency can leave men tired, weak, achy, and mentally flat. Zinc deficiency can affect broader reproductive function and may show up in men with restrictive diets, malabsorption, or unexplained weakness. Iron deficiency anemia can produce classic low T type complaints: poor stamina, exercise intolerance, fatigue that feels out of proportion. If you are running low on oxygen carrying capacity, you do not need a motivational speech. You need the deficiency identified and corrected. The New England Journal of Medicine review on iron deficiency anemia makes that point well. Diagnosis first, empiric guessing later, if ever. Then we get to prediabetes and type 2 diabetes, which are everywhere. A surprising number of men first come in because of erectile dysfunction, fatigue, central weight gain, reduced libido, or mental fog. And the main disorder turns out to be metabolic disease. Sometimes there is real secondary hypogonadism on top of that, sometimes not. Either way, diabetes needs its own treatment plan. The Endocrine Society guideline is clear that testosterone should not be used as a treatment to improve glycemic control. In plain English, testosterone is not diabetes treatment. If a man has both confirmed hypogonadism and diabetes, we treat both. We do not expect one to do the work of the other. This is also why, when BMI is above 25, we include insulin in the broader picture. I think of the workup as a sequence, not a shopping list. First, do the symptoms actually fit possible hypogonadism? Second, confirm the hormone pattern correctly. Morning draw, ideally between 7 and 11. Total testosterone by LC-MS/MS, free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS, LH and FSH at the same time, estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA for men 40 and older, insulin when BMI is above 25, then add targeted tests when the story calls for them. TSH when thyroid disease is part of the picture. Prolactin when low or normal LH suggests secondary hypogonadism or when low sexual desire is prominent. Ferritin and transferrin saturation when iron overload is plausible. What I do not want men to do is diagnose themselves from one random result. A lab drawn at 3 in the afternoon after poor sleep and a stressful week is not a diagnosis. It is a clue, maybe. Persistent symptoms plus the right biochemical pattern, that is the standard. And once you have that pattern, the treatment path starts to make sense. If testosterone is low and LH is high, that points to primary hypogonadism. The testes are failing to respond. If testosterone is low and LH is low or normal, that points to secondary hypogonadism. If LH is below 8 and the overall picture fits secondary or functional hypogonadism, that is often the group where enclomiphene is our first-line treatment because it stimulates the body to produce testosterone naturally while preserving spermatogenesis and testicular function. Different mechanism, different goal, different patient. That distinction is not academic. It changes treatment, fertility planning, and what expectations are realistic. A man with untreated sleep apnea, elevated TSH, and borderline numbers does not have the same problem as a man with repeated low free testosterone, low or normal LH, and clear sexual symptoms. They may both say, "I feel like my testosterone is low." One may be right in a strict endocrine sense, the other may be describing the experience of another disorder that feels exactly the same from the inside. Your body does not send neatly labeled messages. Unfortunately, it did not get the memo.
A lot of guys hear all this and think, okay, but fatigue and low libido still probably mean testosterone, right? Sometimes, but those symptoms are common in hypothyroidism, depression, sleep apnea, diabetes, hyperprolactinemia, and anemia. If you anchor too early on testosterone, you can miss a correctable diagnosis that is sitting right there. This is the mistake I see most often. Men are not wrong to notice the symptoms. They are just too quick to assign the cause. Another common misconception is that a normal total testosterone rules out a hormone problem. It does not. If thyroid disease or liver dysfunction is shifting binding proteins, total testosterone can look okay while free testosterone is low. That is why direct free testosterone matters. And no, I am not saying every man with a normal total testosterone secretly has low T. I am saying the right test depends on the question. If symptoms persist, the answer is not to stare harder at the wrong number. Then there is the belief that sleep apnea is unrelated because it is just snoring. No, sleep apnea can absolutely mimic low testosterone symptoms. And chronic poor sleep can also suppress testosterone production. On top of that, untreated sleep apnea can complicate safety later by contributing to elevated hematocrit. So if a man is sleepy, foggy, snoring, waking unrefreshed, and having sexual symptoms, sleep has to be part of the evaluation. Ignoring it is like trying to tune a car engine while the fuel line is kinked. One more. Men sometimes assume that if prolactin or iron overload is causing the problem, testosterone is still the main fix. Not necessarily. Those are upstream causes. Treat the prolactin excess. Treat the iron overload. Reassess. In some men, testosterone recovers. That is why good diagnosis feels slower at first. It saves time later. A few practical takeaways. First, do not self-diagnose low testosterone from symptoms alone. Fatigue, brain fog, low mood, reduced libido, and erection changes are real symptoms, but they are not exclusive to hypogonadism. Second, if you are going to test, do it properly. Morning draw between 7 and 11. Total testosterone by LC-MS-MS. Free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS, and always LH and FSH with it, always. Third, look for common mimics early: thyroid disease, sleep apnea, mood disorders, prolactin issues, iron overload, diabetes, anemia, liver and kidney disease. Fourth, if hypogonadism is confirmed, classify it before talking treatment. High LH and low testosterone is a different problem from low or normal LH and low testosterone. And if you already have labs from another service, bring them. We review outside labs all the time, including uploads from services like Function Health. Sometimes the answer is already sitting in those results, just not interpreted in a way that fits the symptoms. If treatment is appropriate, it should be individualized. At VIDMA, that means enclomiphene as first line for eligible men with secondary or functional hypogonadism, and the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet when erection or urinary symptoms are also present. Then we monitor. First month, then every 6 months, and adjust based on the response and the full lab picture. Next time, we'll get into functional versus organic hypogonadism. Is your low T reversible? Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free, or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.